Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Hour of the Time with your host here, Doyle Shamley in Eager, Arizona. Now, first, tonight, we have a lot of stuff to cover. We're going to dispense quickly with the contact information and a couple of announcements. If you'd like to write the Hour of the Time, you may do so by writing Hour of the Time or HOT, H-O-T-T, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. Again, that's Hour of the Time, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona, 85925. The website, hourofthetime.com. That's hourofthetime.com. Studio number, 928-333-2942. And my personal email address, hourofthetime@hotmail.com. hourofthetime@hotmail.com. Now, concerning the studio number message machine, 928-333-2942, remember, ladies and gentlemen, that if I do not announce that this show is a call-in show, which isn't that often here because we have content at the Hour of the Time for our broadcast, we don't need to fill it up by wasting time on commercials and random subjects, etc. Don't call. All you're doing is annoying me. The lights still flash and everything, but it's an annoyance. So don't call during the broadcast if we haven't announced open phone lines. Also, when you leave a message, please be specific. Right off the bat, get to what you're desiring, your name, address, if that pertains to the message. But some form that I can get back hold of you with, if that's what you desire. Now, if you're just calling to say, Doyle, you suck, or whatever, that's fine. I guess you don't need to leave a phone number or nothing. But if it's something pertinent, please do so and be clear and do it right off the bat and get to the point. We're getting a lot of those meandering messages now again. They seem to come in cycles where the message machine cuts off after a very long duration, by the way, and then you call back and leave the next segment and call back and leave the next segment. We've had up to 6 segments left in a row from one caller. And I listened and listened and listened. And no kidding, when it was all done, he had never told me the name or contact info to get back with him. But I heard everything about the alien abductions and how they got in his head and this and that, how he needed us to expose this and blah, blah, blah. So, whatever. Just use some common sense, ladies and gentlemen, please. And I know you're capable of doing that. You're showing common sense by listening to this program anyway. Don't forget the conference 2008. We got another confirmation in the mail. So the seats are getting eaten up and it's a year away still. There will be the most limited seating. And I just use that word generically. We're not really sitting much. Compared to any other year previously for a conference. Because of the rounding out of skills and building on the previous conferences. And if you're new to this one, that's fine. The class is not geared where we're going to say, okay, per last year, you learned steps 1 through 5, so we're starting at 6. We don't do that. Plus, there's the DVDs, binding, etc., available from the previous conferences. So our conference from just this year, 07, will be up on the website, by the end of the year. That's a lot of work. There is a lot of video footage in an entire week. So it's not something you just haphazardly edit and throw together. But it'll all be on a page just like the current 2006 conference DVDs are, and the binder is an option, etc. Now, you do pay more for all the DVDs and binders than you would if you just came and attended, and some people say, well, why is that? I'm not eating or anything. Because you don't deserve the same privileges as someone who made the effort to actually come, and a lot of the content comes from the interaction, the questions that are asked by the people who show up and attend. And more knowledge is put out because of the questions. I can't remember to say everything on a given topic during a class, so the questions help a lot. So that interaction, that participation, that effort that those put out to actually come, that's why they get it cheaper. Now, ladies and gentlemen, again, remember the Hour of the Time is listener-supported. No corporate sponsors either gagging us or telling us to promote their gimmick items, overpriced coins, miracle cures, etc., that don't really work. And we're not going to do that just to get some free airtime here at the Hour of the Time. We've been offered airtime on every major network in the country. But we don't take it because they want to cut up the broadcast every 3 or 4 minutes with BS commercials. For instance, gimmicks for electronic money trading and exchanging to make money. The antithesis of constitutional money, and it's being promoted heavily on many so-called Patriot radio broadcasts, but that's because they spell Patriot, P-A-Y. So your support through donations for the broadcast, the Hot Club is the best deal. DVDs, preparedness materials, etc. That's how we pay bandwidth, websites, paper, ink, electricity, heat, etc. Now, tonight, you're going to need to have a lot of notes ready. We're kind of wrapping up this week's series on resistance warfare and preparedness, etc., for such a calamity. How to know how resistance and guerrilla warfare works so you can counter it. Know thy enemy. How to defend yourself from socialist subterfuge, whether that be foreign or domestic. And tonight we're going to get into more of the nuts and bolts of things you need to consider for your group, whether that be family, extended family, co-workers, militias, church members, whatever, neighbors. Things to consider. We have given you all the tools and intricacies and details in previous broadcasts. Tactics series, psychological operations series, Minuteman series, preparedness series, for instance. That's just four. We've done food storage, clothing, equipment, on and on and on. So tonight I'm going to go over all the categories, and you should be writing these down and donate also for the broadcast so you can listen again. You're not going to keep up on the notes, and I don't do that on purpose. It's just a lot to write. And we have an hour each evening to try to help you. And these are things that, based on the previous knowledge we've given you and all the skills of the conference, are just so you have areas to think about and you can realize your group's shortcomings, your family's shortcomings, whether that be items, research, skills, abilities. And you'll know where to work. And you'll know where you have excess of. So you can kind of ignore that area for a while, whether it's procurement or training. So you got to keep a well-balanced approach, ladies and gentlemen. So after this musical break, be prepared to write. Give you, 3 minutes or so. And you're going to have to really have some paper tonight. So we're going to go down a lot of line items, if you will. Kind of like chapter and subsection. Okay? And these are things you need to think about And that's why it's so important that you take notes, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, again, you're listening to the Hour of the Time with your host here, Doyle Shamley, in Eager, Arizona. Now, what I'm going to do first to give you some areas of consideration for planning, preparedness, being a more responsible citizen in defense of our constitutional republic, is read to you the areas and the table of contents of a book I wrote. And don't ask where you can buy the book, because it's not published, because that takes immense amounts of money, and this is a huge book. But I have the whole thing here. So right out of the table of contents, chapters and subchapters, gives you all the areas. So things to think about, ladies and gentlemen. Under preparedness, what does it mean? Why be prepared, and the social implications of it. Events, politics, history, justifying preparedness. Food and water. Areas to look at, dehydrated food, retort food, grains, legumes, sprouts and sprouting, water, snacks. Balancing meals, physiological reactions, and avoiding food fatigue. Plants and herbs for food, tools, and medicine. First aid. Now, I'm not going to go through all the subsections. We have an entire DVD on that. Chapter by chapter, with 22 of the most important courses taught to combat troops by instructors like I was formerly. Communications, both basic and advanced. And I'm not just talking electronic. We went into a lot of the communications because on tactics, the three core essential areas are move, shoot, communicate. Move, shoot, communicate. So the tactics series details various forms of communications. Defense, the basics of defense. weapons choice and compatibility, edged weapons, weapon sustainability, proactive stance, and perimeters. LPOPs. We're going to be teaching that again in the field at the next conference. Shelter, teaching that as well. Actually, all these things are getting kind of the culmination of all this at the next conference, plus tactical and long range, shotgunning, specialized loads, hand loading in the field, not in a shop, etc. Planning, action plans, working the plan, family practice and training. And on the shelters, let me go back to that one, because people sometimes think of leaning a bunch of branches against a log, and that's the only thing it pertains to, and that's really a bad way to think about it. Really, it can be divided into three areas: stationary, mobile, and field expedient. Attitude, oh so important, covered in the survival series. Positive thinking, staying alive, morale, helping others. And there's some ramifications to helping others, and at a point where you need to be honest in what may seem cruel right now, but you can quickly deplete your groups. Let's say our six-person group from church, so we've been using as a reference all week. Your own supplies, those of you who put the effort and time into it on people who didn't want to listen and are just coming around as beggars afterwards, hoping you'll float them like welfare. And you know what? You can't, because you put at jeopardy your family and loved ones and all those who did put effort into it. So there's some implications there. Under helping others, you have obligations both directions. Sanitation and hygiene, personal hygiene, special hygiene situations, water and waste disposal, the morale and health factors of hygiene, taken from dispositions, depositions, if you will, etc., former POWs, refugees, guerrilla warfare fighters, etc. Additives. And what's the greatest invention of field hygiene covered? Think about it. Light. Candles, flashlights, chemical light sticks, lanterns. Are you going to go battery or fuel? What kind of fuel? Do you have enough? Do you have mantles? Enough of them. Do you have repair kits, O-rings, tools, etc.? Warmth. Blankets, clothing, forms of heat are creating warmth in the field and inside of structures. Hand tools, basic kits and additives. Survival kits, personal, car, getaway bags, fanny pack size. Why have one? Contents. Where to store them? How to store them? These are all things that you should consider. And that's just a partial table of contents of my book. And then, detail by detail, 22 medical classes, for instance, and one each class takes about 2 pages. But we have a DVD on that, ladies and gentlemen, for only a $10 donation, so I'm not going to read all these steps to you. But I did want to go into some areas that I've been getting a lot of questions on in the mail and on phone and conversations, etc., that are areas that you should consider under some of these categories, because there's things you can do like right now, if you haven't already, and be honest with yourself. Don't say you have just because you're embarrassed because you haven't. Don't call me with a BS story, because I usually fish it out of you pretty quick and tell that you're lying to me and you don't have what you claim you have, or you haven't practiced what you claim you've practiced. I'd rather you tell me that I don't have any of this stuff, where do I start, than BS me, because I'll probably hang up on you. I'll spend hours with you, though, if you are earnest and just are honest. under the medical arena, a lot of people think that they need to either go out and buy a mountaineering expedition Everest pack full of supplies from a firm and pay way too much money for it versus, let's say, what compared to the supplies we have on our website, hourthetime.com, and then just hit shop. Or, that better yet, you put together yourself, because then you know and feel the contents. You understand them. You know where they're packed. Exactly. You know where to procure them. People have asked what would be a larger size first aid kit, not something you just have in your little fanny kit, the basics, something a little larger that would sustain a small group. That would be the minimum you'd want to start with. So let me give you some of those items. This is the minimum, can be done inexpensively. For example, I've gone with many a person to Rite Aids and Dollar General stores and bought Made in America products, because that's a crucial thing. A lot of the overseas medical products, not all of them, but a lot of them, have very poor packaging, which lends itself to early contamination, less durability. Obviously, it's not sterile later on. And you can do this on the cheap. You don't need to buy a box of Johnson & Johnson 1x3-inch adhesive bandages, or band-aids, if you will. The standard size, 1-inch by 3-inch. You can buy the still Made in America Rite Aid brand, for instance, or Walgreens brand, or Dollar General brand, still made here, because there's only three companies manufacturing all this anyway. And then it's brand labeled after that. You can pay $4 or $5 for that box of Band-Aids, or you can pay $1. It's up to you. But a minimum, 25 adhesive standard size bandages, adhesive spots, 5 each, extra large adhesive size, 5 each. And there I'm talking the 2x4 and 2x3s. Fingertip, 5 each, knuckle, 5 each, small and large butterfly, 5 each. Sterile pads, 20 each, 2x3, 20 each, 3x4. Combine bandages or pads, very important. They're usually 6x9. Hold up to a quart of fluid. Two rolls, cloth surgical tape. Micropore tape, 5 each. 20 each iodine prep pads. 20 each antiseptic towelettes. 2 each ammonia inhalants. 5 each antibacterial ointment packets, and I'm talking those ones that look like ketchup packets. They may be long or square, either way. 20 each non-aspirin pain reliever packets, alcohol prep pads, 50. Gauze, rolls of gauze, 2-inch wide roll, 2 each, 3-inch and 4-inch wide rolls, 2 each respectively. Sponges, 2x2s and 4x4s, 50. Cravats, a very large bandana meant for medical usage, slings, head injuries, eye injuries, fractures, 2 each. Go make your own. These are just the basic supplies, but it's a kit that a group or family could share quite easily. You could have in your vehicle. In your vehicle, you have a high probability of encountering a larger accident. Is this what I'd put in my getaway backpack? No. It's too much. It's more than you need. This is meant for more of a family or group size minimum items and amounts. Where to look for it, ladies and gentlemen? Watch the sales. I was teaching some locals they're new to the area, how to stock their pantries. And I showed them how in the local grocery stores, which we've only got two, by the way, I mean local, no Walmarts, no driving anywhere, no nothing like that, how they alternated because the competition sells. And in any given week, you can get canned food for a quarter. Name brand, new, not old, beans, corn, whatever. And I showed them on just allotting $10 a week how quick they could build up their pantry. In one guy's case, he's a bachelor. He had stuff spread all over Kingdom Come in the cupboards that he had, which weren't a lot, but the cupboards he did have in his kitchen had him consolidate just a few dishes and pans, and he had a complete empty cupboard. There was his pantry. He's ready. Same with medical supplies. Watch the sales. Look for outlets. If you don't know where to get the little typically two pill or two capsule little packets, your industrial supply, look in the phone book. Look in the yellow pages. Look at your industrial supply warehouse vendors, your first aid vendors, your safety stores for industrial. And they have that stuff by the case if you want it. You can buy 1,000 of those two pill Tylenol packets or whatever you like. Now we're going to teach you how to make these things as far as medicinal items from natural herbs. We do every year at the conference, and next year is more intensive, hands-on, every student touching, filling, grinding, mixing, and you're going to take home the formulas that you make. You're going to see how to make your own capsules at home, how to make lozenges, salves. Now, of course, the question will come up in the first aid arena is, well, I got 20 people, or I'm worried about my whole church, or I'm the safety manager at my workplace of work, or whatever. I need to know some more advanced things. What can I do? So right after this musical break, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get into that. More advanced medical items, and talk about some areas that you really need to consider, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, I had a quick interruption here. Sorry about that. I had to take care of that. Now, more advanced supplies that you'd want to have, whether you're familiar with them or not, I'm going to tell you what they are, and they're easy to find and look up. There are electric cauteries, they're called. That would be very handy to have in a larger kit for a larger group, not the emergency first aid, first given, the definition, but more sustainable long-term, like in a medical camp, in your living room that turns into a medical center, an economic collapse, what have you. Sutures, straight and curved suture needles, various sizes of suits for themselves or through us at the hour of the time. Right there on our shopping cart. Suture kits, 30 inches of suture and needle and a sterile packet. Incredibly thin and about the size of a ketchup packet. Then you've got the whole kit when you open it. Suture scissors and tweezers, very handy to have. IV catheters. Saline solution IVs. Yes, you can legally buy all this stuff, ladies and gentlemen. Burn relief. Burn-free gel. The sterilized burn-free pads, for instance. Aloe vera, of course, aloe vera. Neosporin. And at some point in your group's planning, because they are pricey, but one of the last items you'd get only because of the price, but they are very handy to have at some point, would be the burn-free escape blankets. Surgical kit. Some kind of storage durable pouch for the items. You'd want, of course, this is stainless steel as well, but dental picks, hemostats, scalpel and blades, number 11 being the best all-around size to have. Scissors, both bandage and regular. EMT shears, cutting the clothing off. Don't dull your surgical scissors, cutting Levi's. Tweezers, probes. Dental mirror, the double-ended dental picks, the little spatulas, the mixing trays, base paste, catalyst paste. Those are your filled expedient fillings that you can do. So you can get to someone who knows more how to treat dental injuries. But I've seen filled expedient filling replacement kits used, and people have, just because of a money situation, have ran with them for a year. It's kind of like Bondo. You just do it at home. Can be incredibly important. Things to think about, as I always stress, is in your medical and hygiene and personal health arenas, do you have any special things you need to ensure you have? Do you have some kind of medication you just have to have? Ideally, you're on no medication, but if you are on one and you just have to have it, do you have some spares? Don't worry about the expiration date. You can rotate it. You can have some slightly expired product, and slightly by quite a while. The Army and Marine Corps Hospital Command out of the Pentagon did some tests. And on the most dispensed items, like ibuprofens and Tylenols and aspirins, acetaminophens, all that, they had always gone by the expiration dates, by the millions, imagine the masses that are bought by the Department of Defense, and dispensed with them. Like, not surplus sale, dispensed with them. They actually had a chemistry lab at a hospital command do true statistical and laboratory analysis of expired medications and found that nearly all of their stock could go 3 and 4 years and only lose 10 to 15% of its effectiveness. They did it as a budgetary matter for stockpiles, but you can do the same. Glasses. Are you diabetic? Do you have some kind of extreme allergy and don't want to just change your diet and get healthier to get rid of the allergy? And you always take allergy pills every spring or whatever? Or you're basically dysfunctional? You cough and sneeze nonstop, can't really breathe? I suggest you consider that then in your kit. Power and all that we've covered extensively in the past on previous broadcasts. Under the lighting, there's nothing in an extreme or bad catastrophe more comforting than some light and warmth. Physiologically, psychologically, morale, which I do differentiate from psychological factors. Things you need to consider is the quality of batteries, compatibility. Do you have 4 different battery sizes just in one kit? Are they rechargeable? How are you going to recharge them? Electric versus solar. Chemical light sticks. There's different durations and intensities and different places to buy them. Chemical light sticks, and ironically, calendar-wise, this is a good time to bring this up. There's one time a year when they are marked down incredibly at stores all over America, and it's right after Halloween, which we just passed 2 days ago. They're very popular and common nowadays for schools and cities and parents to hand out to children while they're out playing goblin and trick-or-treating. And then afterwards, they're a nuisance to stores, and they mark them down incredibly, starting the day after Halloween to clear out their stock. Remember, holidays sell and make lots of money. They need to move in Thanksgiving and Christmas as soon as possible, at least in their mind, to start raking you over the coals. Good time to take advantage of that. Candles, what kind are you going to use? Are you going to make them yourself? We taught that at the conferences. What kind is best for extreme hours? 100-hour candles, 120-hour candles, heating and cooking on candles, and homemade wax stoves. And you'd be amazed how much you can cook with a stove made for less than a dollar that we taught at the conference. How many, literally, hundreds of hours. And it's reusable. You don't have to light it once and leave it on. Flashlights, quality. Do you need to pay $150, $200 for the brightest handheld light that all the SWAT teams are buying up with your taxpayer dollars? Probably not. Do you want to skimp and get them out of the 25 or 50 cent bin or the clearance aisle? And have it that probably won't even work first time it rains? No. Lanterns, there's trick lanterns that are stoves and lanterns all combined. Very portable, ultra lightweight. Very good investment. Multiple fuel, you can run them on everything from jet fuel to kerosene to unleaded to lanterns, normal lantern fuel, fuel oil. I know of one that is a lantern, stove both, incredibly lightweight, meant for long-range backpacking and mountain climbing. The price is not that bad for what you're getting, all in one little tool, and it runs on 7 different fuels, so basically anywhere in the world you're going to find something to burn. And you need to think about the different types of lanterns, acetylenes, miner's lamps, which would... Do you remember how to use those? Carbide and water. Aladdin's, hurricanes. Under the warmth, don't forget that there, whether it be clothing or blankets, you want some that are like the, we have hundreds and hundreds of them, and I'm not exaggerating. What were civil defense blankets? And they're a blend of wool, 80% wool, 20% cottons. Standard twin size bed. And as you listened, when we were telling you about all this stuff, when they were easily available, they were also $2.99 a blanket, was all. Do you need some bulk ones? For situations. You also need some high quality, the ones you're going to rely on day in, day out, not just a loaner for the guy passing by that lends you a little hand or a medical emergency and ends up all bloody and you need to burn it when it's done. There's differences here. All the uses of a blanket. making serapes, capotes, pants, under heat, how to make fire, different types of fires, different intensities of fires. We covered all that at the conferences and on the broadcast in the past. Where heat is most important for your body, if you have to ration it, and different types of heat that's available, like a bought item, as in chemical hand warmers and foot warmers, emergency heat, how to make your own emergency heat, and sterno formulas even, and fire gels. Tools are something that I see as probably the most lacking in most people's preparedness plans that I've ever encountered. Those items which, depending on your situation, you may use all the time. You like to tinker and build your own things, have a little shop, what have you. You're a do-it-yourselfer that you just take for granted. But you're always using and running back to the store and needing one more, etc. So tools I want to cover with a little more detail this evening, because people just don't seem to include those. You're going to have to be able to rebuild, manufacture, create, repair a plethora of stuff when things go bad. Do you have any of the skills? If not, may I suggest you go get one of the excellent Time Life book series or Reader's Digest book series on basic repairs and building and home repairs. If you don't want to buy it new, which I wouldn't if I was you, you'd be amazed how many full sets of every volume you can get at thrift stores, secondhand bookstores, places like that. At a library, check them out. You might be amazed at all the usefulness of, let's say, a dryer timer, the timing unit and the knob down the road. Or how easy you can repair something once you have the fundamentals in tools and knowledge. But some basic tools that you have to have, I'm talking physical tools you work with. Standard claw type hammer. A short handled 5-pound sledge and a normal long handled heavy sledge. Screwdrivers, you can't pass up your Common and Phillips. Number 1, 2, and 3 Phillips. 8th, quarter, and 3/8 inch common, or flat tip to some of you, will do almost all your work. A lot of the newer devices come with Torx and Allens and security Torx and security Allens, star, square. Just try to avoid that in your planning outright. But on the same hand, get you a cheap set of Torx and square. And Phillips, the oddball size that is. And the star drives, which are different than Torx. Just to have, because you may encounter something that you need to tear apart that has all those goofy drivers, Allen wrenches. A nice basic made in USA set and a little plastic rollout deal is not expensive, and you can get metric and SAE. Society of American Engineers, in case you just were curious, or American size, in one handy kit, inexpensively. Pliers. Slip joint, channel lock, vice grip, linemans for heavy twisting and holding. Wire cutting. Inside, heavy side and fine sided, pointed. Bolt cutters. I'd have a very small one you can travel with easy, like an 8-inch pair. Again, don't buy the Chinese $2 crap at Harbor Freight. The jaws are so cheap, when you go cut your first thing, you're going to ruin the jaws. Buy a quality set and a spare set of jaws. Any quality brand has replaceable cutting jaws. Rigid, Crescent, Klein. and a large set for heavy-duty stuff, cutting rebars that you need to clear out a collapsed building and rescue somebody, to get the scrap steel out of a collapsed heap for other uses, cutting major bolts to get access to supplies that you need that somehow got locked in a building and you lost the keys or what have you. Mock picking essentials. We covered that at the conference. Everybody got to actually do it. Vehicles, deadbolts, doorknobs. And see it. Wood saw. A basic 20-inch crosscut saw. Remember, we're not here doing fine finish work on crown molding in a mansion. We're wanting to cut boards without the use of electricity. Hacksaw, buy a good one. A rigid, good adjustable frame. And the blades, do not skimp. And have your metal and coarse and plastic cutting blades. Do not buy, again, the Chinese foreign junk blades that you can rub the teeth off of and just have a bare strip of metal and it's like sawing a bolt with a butter knife. Buy a good quality blade. It will be well worth it to you. And one of the assorted packs. And know what they mean when they say TPI, teeth per inch, and when you use the various ones. So you don't waste your muscle effort and time using the wrong blade on the wrong material. Files. The handy file from Nichols. Made in America. $6. Doesn't require the plastic handle to be safe. A lot of accidents happen where people use normal Tang files and the file grabs and rams the Tang right into your hand and wrist. So you should have a piece of wood, stick, a store-bought handle, whatever over that, but a handy file has the nice common round metal handle. It's part of the body. It won't hurt you. It's got smooth and rough or coarse cutting both. Just flip it over. If I could only have one file, that would be it. And it'd be a Nichols made in America. They're just on par with the German and Swiss files, which are the best. But they're just barely below them, trust me. And I have some fine Swiss files for use in my shop for intricate tooling. And a 7-piece set ran me $120. And I'm talking little needle files. Don't buy Chinese ones. I've seen cheap Harbor Freight type files where the teeth actually roll over when you're using the file. But if you don't understand the different grades and cuts, an all-around size is an 8-inch for length, and get a fine, medium, coarse, and bastard mill cut. And that is the proper terminology, bastard mill. Digging, you'll want a round tip, a square tip, shovel, a mattock, and a pick. Nails, screws, fastening devices. Have you thought about that? You certainly couldn't go wrong with a 50-pound box for your group of 16 penny nails, or 16D. And maybe some eights. Between those two, you can do about any project. If I had to pick between 20s and 16s, pick 16 penny. The 20s require a lot more effort to drive them in and aren't necessary for connecting most two board joints. You can toenail with a 16 penny and get the job done. A lot less effort, which is something to always think about. Because your energy and your nutrition, your patience levels, your health levels in hard times are a commodity that's in shortage. Screws. Some sheet metal screws, wood screws. Wire. Some basic rolls of electrical wire. A 12 to 14 gauge is a good all-around size. A 300-foot spool of rebar tie wire. Looks just like good old belling wire. It's a very malleable iron wire. Comes in hundreds and hundreds of uses. Some real duct tape, again, not the Chinese junk that's just silver colored. And you can get black if you want, camouflage if you want to pay all that. And a quality electrical tape or vinyl tape. Those are all things to think about. It will make life a lot easier. A block and tackle, a come along, a good quality rope, and the skills to use it all. You'd be amazed again how much one of those Time Life series or Home and Garden series or Reader's Digest series of books that you can go check out as needed now when you have the ability to and read and look through, how much you can learn from them and how cheap they are at secondhand bookstores and thrift stores. Maybe get the entire series when they're $5 for the whole set, $10 for the whole set for your group. Because then you can refer back. And then when you get the whole sets, they even get into framing, foundations, joists and support structures, skills that are going to be very handy. Maybe you don't have a contractor in your group. But remember, you always have to seek out the talents, abilities, research, and skills now in your preparation, training, and planning. It would be a lot easier to make aware and wake up a local contractor and have them join your group than it would be to go to contractor school and learn the whole trade. But at least learn some rudimentaries out of books with good diagrams if you can't do that. Mechanics tools have a basic metric and SAE set. Ratchet and breaker bar both. Have a water key. A water key. And those are in my packs. Those are in my vehicle bags. Those are in my shop. Those are in all over the place. Now, I know some people don't know what a water key is. So what it is you notice on public buildings, municipalities, shopping malls, police stations, schools, cafeterias, shopping centers, on and on and on, you'll see faucets sticking out of the wall with no handle on them. And they've got various sizes of shaft inside that little collar that you need to reach into to turn. It can be a difficult task with a stick and a pair of needle nose in there and trying to do it. Now, you could just break it off, I guess, and let it run till the well's dry and waste everything. Give away the fact that you're using the water, possibly. Or you could get a water key. It's four-sided, like a little, imagine a miniature four or cross tire bar. About 3 inches by 3 inches. A cross shape, plus sign. It has the four predominant sizes for water valves. And it'll cover 99.9% of your needs. They're made out of aluminum. They don't weigh anything. They're about $4 at a True Value store. Throw one in every kit you got. So if during a bad time you have to become mobile and you run across the local municipal building, courthouse, shopping center, whatever, and there's a faucet right there and you need some water to help someone, you can turn it on. And you can turn it back off so you don't waste it. You'll want a crowbar, I would say a Blue Wonder bar, your typical flat one. Again, get a quality one and a typical crowbar demolition bar. There's going to be times when salvaging is going to be critical. And it's a lot easier salvaging large boards and sheets of wood, rebar, etc. with the proper tools, the bolt cutters we covered, the crowbars, than trying to use a hacksaw to get through every piece of metal you need and your claw hammer to pull apart 2x12s. But you take one building, a mortar and wood construction, typical public building that's been hurt by a natural disaster, man-made, whatever, There is a plethora of materials. Use your imagination. There's metal flashing and sheeting. More wood than you can probably haul. Brick. Water pipes. Wire by the miles. Switches. Containers. Vessels. Beams. It all gets easier with your knowledge base and research and skills and abilities. One thing that I just don't understand, because I get mine borrowed about 20 times a day, pocket knife. Everybody should have a pocket knife at all times. It can be used for so many things. And if you're going to lean towards more of like a Swiss Army style, then get a real one, not the $2 Chinese one that's going to break and you're going to be real disappointed when it's the only thing you have and you need it. Get a genuine one. And of all the models, there's two that are the most functional. I'm talking weight, size, utility, cost. The two most functional models are the Boy Scout model and the mechanic model. The mechanic model dispense with the little scissors you see on a lot of models and put a miniature little pair of pliers on there. The basic case brand, good made in America, good carbon steel. Boy Scout knife, can't go wrong with that. Flat tip screwdriver, bottle opener, can opener, Phillips screwdriver, blade, lanyard loop, and all. For sewing, punching holes, what have you. Don't forget your matches and fire starting, and buy in bulk. We taught you all sorts of forms at the conferences. I have described it in previous broadcasts, homemade fire starters that are waterproof, store indefinitely, and how to make them for pennies on the dollar of what you'd pay by buying them. How to make your own waterproof matches, how to store them, all on the cheap, and always insist on name brand, that means Blue Diamond, Strike Anywhere, not Strike on Box. They're usually sold as a three-pack of the giant large boxes like you'd see next to a wood stove. Buy them by the case. You can take the match heads and make fuses, primers, rudimentary gunpowder, solder with them. Obviously, start fires with them to keep yourself warm. Sterilize needles and instruments with them. The list goes on and on. Any tough guys out there can use the wooden end for a toothpick and look cool when you walk around. What have you. So a lot of this stuff is available on the cheap as common sense items. And because you don't have it doesn't mean you're stupid or have no common sense. We all take a lot of daily things for granted. That's why most people freak out when the power goes off. I could care less. Staying with some very good friends, my family and I, back east. Power hadn't been off in decades, and as soon as we show up, it went off for hours and hours, but we had a wonderful meal. Even had apple pie for dessert, hot, lighting, entertainment with radio, news, everything, because they were prepared. Didn't bug us at all if the power was out. An hour after we showed up, and we stayed up half the night still visiting and eating well and having fun. But people freak out because they take things for granted. Running water, lights, warmth, shelter, medical systems, stability, infrastructure. And upon a socialist or totalitarian strike, whether they be external or internal forces, enemies, foreign and domestic, natural catastrophes, all that will go away, possibly for an extended amount of time. Now, this is just things for you to think about. Don't forget about our new weekend broadcast on Radio Free Vermont. I want to thank all of you for tuning in this evening and hope you have a safe and a studious weekend.